Innocence proves nothing, which means I don't care what little amendments or civil rights you think you got going on, because they don't exist in 40K. There is no due process. There is no trial. It's just guilty because I said so.
Bill of Rights?
No. And today we're going to be covering the poster boys of that. I'm Isander.
I'm Coda.
And it's the Inquisition who beat poor Cain into the abyss. So now he's gone forever. That's
poor
it.
Poor Caiaphas. Maybe. He'll never be written about again. Mysteriously disappeared
for
into
now.
The warp.
We'll see. It leaves us new options for the next episode, with those being the Space Sharks, the Rogue Traders, the Abhumans, and the Leagues of Votan. So those are the choices. The last ones are just Space Dwarves. Come on.
Aren't they just Space Dwarves?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, is that not just going to be a Deep Rock Galactic vid?
There's going to be a lot of rock and stone is what I'm going to say. But you can vote for it by sounding off in the comments. As always, you know, do the stuff the machine gods like, subscribe. We are on the new mission to 250,000.
250,000.
Such a big number to say, but we've done 100,000. So we can do we can do that one more time and a half, I think. Yeah. So no. I know. So thank you for helping us out with that. As always, if you want more episodes, there's a bonus episode every single week on patreon.com, and it helps us keep all these lights on. So thank you very much for that. And now let's get into it with the poster boys of zero checks and balances, the Inquisition. And that
what
was
about the Outquisition?
That's a different episode.
Okay.
That was not a joke, by the way, when I said it earlier. One of their sayings, one of their mottos, is innocentia nihil probat. Innocence proves nothing.
Oh.
It's something they say as they do their jobs.
So this is not a group who's like innocent before proven guilty. It's just, there is no guilty or innocent. I do what I want.
Yes, some. And you'll see, like, as we talk about them, you'll see more how they kind of differ a bit. But some of them are like that. For the most part, they tend to take the approach of kill them all, let God figure it out. They figure heaven's got better bureaucrats than we do.
I'm not the judge. I'm just the executioner.
And they've even been quoted in the Guy Haley books, I think, as saying, better 1,000 good men die than one traitor go free. Yeah. If the thing I love, there's a book with all the punishments in 40K. It's long. It's all the punishments the Imperium could deal out. It's a bunch of them. It's not all of them, because you can always commit a crime in 40K. But my favorite is, if you are a traitor, right, you are executed, as well as your family, and then two more generations of family are executed.
Because
Who
knows who you would have talked to and influenced?
Exactly. And that's if you're caught. If you're suspected of it, you still get executed. And then one generation off gets executed as well, to be safe.
We'll leave the third. Yeah, they're fine.
Exactly. And that's just what is on paper. Inquisitors have pretty much no limit to what they can do. They are judge, they are jury, they are executioner. They can change the punishment however they see fit. If you are working for the Blood God, well, it might be exsanguination in public, because they have senses of humor, I suppose. There is no punishment an Inquisitor can say you're about to go through, and anyone will pop up and say, whoa, 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 whoa. Why? You could tell them.
They'll be on that execution table too.
Exactly. Drag him behind my ship, and everyone just goes, okay, cool.
Okay, sweet. Yeah,
that's what we're doing now. If you want to boil the Inquisition down to its core, I'm talking, if there's one thing you leave here with to know them, it's this. It is pretty much most Western law. Flip it. That's all. That roll credits. That's literally it. In our world, at least in the West, right? I'm less familiar with other law. It's, for lack of a better term, defender's advantage. The burden of proof is on the person who's accusing you of stuff, usually the prosecution, right? And so they can't say, he did it, bro, trust me. They have to prove you did it. And it depends on what you were accused of. The burden changes.
And you also can't, as the prosecution, say, well, prove you didn't do this.
Exactly. And so if it's criminal, it has to be... Well, sometimes they can do that.
Only sometimes.
Well, that's what an alibi basically is prove you couldn't have done this.
Yeah, it's...
Come on.
And usually you will have an alibi.
Exactly. So if it's criminal, at least in the U.S., it is 90% or higher. It's beyond a reasonable doubt. That is a really high burden of proof, and it's why, for one, criminal charges have a tough time sticking, but for two, feds are mortifying. Because if the feds are on you, they have like a 95% chance of victory in a place they're disadvantaged.
What is the success rate on RICO charges?
And that's exactly what I was going to get to. Depending on the charge, it shows just how, like, boned you are. Because usually what feds will do is they won't go for the most they can get you for because it lowers their chances. They'll go for what they know they can get you for. And so if you have something, like, massive, like a RICO charge, and they think they can get that to stick, 95% chance? Yeah, you're screwed. Because what's higher than that? Well, there's stuff higher than that, but it's pretty freaking high. That one's
pretty high.
Right? Now, and that's why, however, if you're not dealing with the feds, which most of you shouldn't be, I doubt any of you are, that if the criminal ones don't stick, then civil ones always stick, pretty much. Because that one changes from beyond a reasonable doubt to more likely than not, which is 50 plus 1%. That's doable. That's really easily doable. No talking about gloves fitting with that one. It just works. In our world, the prosecution, the feds, usually are heavily disadvantaged. On paper, anyway, right? It's like if Tyson or Ali had their same record, one-handed. And you're like, oh dear. It's way more concerning. Now, remember that, because the Inquisition is the exact opposite. They don't have to prove anything. They have, it's attacker's advantage. So it's not, we have to prove he did it. It's just, could he have done it?
Doesn't.
Not did, not wanted to, just could.
Could there be a single 1% chance that he did it?
Like, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, invert it now. So is there like 10% chance you could have done it? Okay, cool. He did it.
Is there a 0.01% chance he did it?
Exactly.
We can't take the chance.
That is horrifying, because if you are an adult man with all four limbs and access to kitchen knives, you can commit a vast number of murders. If anyone goes missing around you, you'd basically be convicted on site. It's just how it would work if that's how... That's the kind of power that they had today.
Because they are not taking the chance with you.
Oh, they don't take it. And it's because, in our world, intent factors in, right? It's why fighting is vaguely stupid unless you absolutely have to. Because, I mean, again, defend yourself, obviously, right? But the problem with fighting is, congratulations, you got a sweet uppercut. He landed badly. Death. Manslaughter, right? But you didn't intend to kill him. That's not as bad as first degree, which is like, oh, I planned to get in this fight,
punch him in the head, and hit him
Acme
in the ground.
Level, set up an anvil behind him. Right? First degree carries a lot. It's a lot heavier of a charge. In 40K, though, and here's the thing you have to remember, intent doesn't matter at all, because you don't have to intend for something for the worst thing to happen. Because you could just be a regular guy working in a factory that produces tanks, let's say. And those tanks, because of how the Imperium is occasionally run, kind of stupid, if even one factory goes down, everything gets lost. So it's a fairly important factory, but you don't know this. I'm just a sheet metal guy. That's all I do. I flatten it. We move on, right? And then one day, you're leaving late, and you just feel something whisper to you, just leave that door open. Or you just, for some reason, forgot your key, so you can't lock up properly. And, you know, you don't think about it. Nothing's ever happened. Nobody's ever going to come here. You just leave.
Nobody's going to break in. Yeah. What would anybody do with some sheet metal?
Exactly. The next day, it's overrun by chaos. A week later, it's invaded by chaos. And because production's dropped by 5%, the planet's gone. And that's why they can't really mess around, you know? They do get overzealous at times. They really do. But for the most part, if they do their jobs wrong, worst case scenario, a sector can go away. But if they do their jobs right, or if they get the wrong guy, oh well, one guy. And planet, billions upon billions of people. Billions of people. When the math is that weighted, okay, sure, I don't care if I'm wrong. This has to happen. There is no debate here.
We can't take the chance. It's like, literally, it's one person versus untold trillions.
Exactly. And This leads them to being the perfect, because a lot of things in 40K are the embodiment of different fears, right? They are the fear of persecution, baby. If your average planet is just aware there's an Inquisitor on there, they could just start witch hunting. I mean, like, old Salem witch trials. Like, see, religious fervor breaking out. I'm innocent. I scoured her, clearly. And that's why, for the most part, actually, if you're seeing an Inquisitor, it's because they want you to see them. Because, well, I'm cheating, but I'm going to mention Caiaphas this episode because I have to. It's a good example, too. He's in one of his books, he's talking to this person, right? And he doesn't know who they are, but he's like, oh, dude, this is great. This is awesome. They're really hot. And then he finds out it's an Inquisitor. And the fear that man feels. The, oh my God.
I've been talking to what?
Excuse me?
The feds?
Exactly.
I gotta get out of here.
And remember a few episodes back when we covered the church and the Sisters of Battle and how they have an unending budget. They can do whatever they want. The Inquisition has a share of that budget too.
No.
So they don't have any oversight and no monetary restrictions. They could black bag anyone and everyone they see fit. They're just the secret police. That's how it works. They're the Ministry of Truth. They're the Men in Black. You know this archetype if you've read any media recently. It's that just unchecked, it's that fear of just unchecked authority bearing down on you, and you just have to deal with that now. The only things in the Imperium that are above their jurisdiction is Custodes.
The Custodes and the Big E himself.
Yeah, the Emperor's bodyguards and up. Anything lower, they have direct command to. And they've threatened these limits too. They have threatened Custodes with sanctions and trials and executions. Those guys.
Did the Custodes, like, tank it? Or did they say, try me?
Okay, you have to understand the gap between your average. It's not even the gap between a person and a space marine. Custodes are 9 to 10 feet tall, and them arriving can turn battles. Enough of them arriving, like, I'm not talking like hundreds, 10 can turn a war. They are terrifying. They are functionally immortal. They have the reflexes to cut a fly after standing still for 200 years. No stretching required. It's the equivalent of your cat threatening to kill you. It's not worth dignifying with a response, is basically how they went about it. It's a house cat saying, I swear to God, I'll take you to cat jail. And you're like, all right.
Oh, that's sure. So cute.
Sure, buddy, sure. They're the only people who are qualified to guard the Emperor himself. Nobody else gets the duty to do that or can be trusted with it. And it's not just a recent thing the Custodes have been doing. They've been doing this for the last 3,650,000-ish days without a break. There's no lunches. There's no pee breaks. There's no retirement. They've just been doing that contiguously without anybody breaking in, by the way. And it's not like people don't want to.
It's the Imperial Palace. Of course people want to.
You see why the Custodes just didn't. They didn't even think about it. It wasn't even a concern. But Inquisitors, who are so not used to hearing the word no, just see them and go, no, yeah, I'm above you. Because they're above pretty much. That's how insane your average Inquisitor's reach is. And all of their major arms have some kind of military backing. Because, I mean, their job is to kill aliens, chaos, and honestly, traitors within the Imperium, right? You need a lot of resources. So they all have military branches they can call to whenever they need to. However, Inquisitors, individual, not the organization. One Inquisitor basically has the ability to call on any and every resource they need. They can walk up to a planetary governor and say, I'm running this show now because I need to. And the governor just goes, okay, this is fine, I suppose. Sure, whatever. They can steal entire armies if they need to. An Inquisitor could be walking down Times Square, lock eyes with you and go, sniper training. And two people appear, drag you away. You are now in boot camp. And you're learning how to be a sniper, I guess.
That was great.
And you don't get to leave until that's done. And that's just what's happening. They don't they have a very hard job, and it usually leads to these nice detective-style stories. But to accomplish that job, they get to do pretty much whatever they want to rub a bit of salt in the wound. That does also mean that they are technically above Space Marines, even. I can feel the typing. I can just feel the typing. Let me finish.
They're legally ahead of Space Marines, not physically.
Yes, yes. They can walk up to Space Marines and tell them, drop what you're doing, follow me. And by the letter of the law, the Space Marines just have to go, okay.
Okay.
Sure. They've walked on to Grey Knight ships and gone, mine. And the Grey Knights didn't just kill them for it immediately. Now, again, Inquisitors are intelligent. They may not be used to hearing the word no, but they are aware of size differences. And so they know not to do it to a Marine having a bad day, some Space Marines, you know, like there's some chapters you just don't do that
with. Don't ask the Dark Angels for anything.
No, don't. So there's some reason to it, but as is written, raw on the sheet of paper, they do outrank Space Marines and can boss them around. This one's going to get me in trouble. I'm fairly certain they can even order around chapter masters. I think they really don't have any limit. So long as it's not outwardly heretical and they can even kind of justify it, I think they can. Caveat, I don't think any ever has.
I don't think that'd be a good idea.
Do you know the level of mission you would need to justify walking up to a chapter master and going, sit down?
Hey, come here.
Yeah. So I don't think there's a mission.
I need to tell you something. Come here.
Yeah.
Come here.
I don't think there's a mission that's called on it yet, but I do think, as is written, they might be able to. And that's the scary level of power that they have. Only custodians and other Inquisitors get to ignore them. That is it. Even Gilliman, one of the Emperor's only living kids, currently stuck trying to duct tape everything together, and it's just constantly falling apart, has to tiptoe around Inquisitors. Because, while, I'll be honest, one Inquisitor, not gonna police rowboat. That's just not how that works. He could kill them very easily. And not just because of that, but also, it's one of the Emperor's sons. They have a lot of sway. However, again, this one I can feel the comments, the entire organization might be able to boss him around.
Just if they all get together and gang up on him.
I'm not saying they can or they can't. I'm just saying they might have the ability to, because, after all, it was one of the Emperor's sons that killed him. I mean, half of them fell to chaos. Who's to say this isn't one of them who's back or has fallen to chaos in the meantime? Just pretending to be nice, trying to get the reins to the Imperium so they can steer it into chaos and rip it all apart. They've tried everything. They're constantly attacking us. Who's to say they wouldn't try from within? And while they haven't even tried that game once on Gilliman, because I don't think it would work.
Who knows? It could be like his... Who knows? Maybe the phrase, house divided falls, has stuck around for these past how many countless years?
Exactly. That's the level of insanity that they are capable of. Critically, they haven't. I don't know if they could, but that's a level...
It's a possibility. It's a maybe.
Regularly, what will happen is you will dig too deep into inquisitorial stuff and secrets that they don't want out, and it'll just be like, gosh, it's so weird how he published that 10-page manifesto on how we are secretly running everything, and we have these massive organizations you know nothing about, and then he was found with horrifically compromising things on his person. How could this be? I knew Gilbert personally. 10 terabytes, though? I need to rethink everything that he said.
Jesus.
That's how mean the Inquisitors are. They're not above that. You will be found in your room with chaos memorabilia all over the place and just hundreds of dead people. And everyone will go, oh my God, what were you doing?
What kind of sociopath are you?
And you're like, I didn't do any of this.
Do you think I have the capability to kill 100 people even?
And the Inquisitor is just in the background like, weird that you did that, huh?
somebody get the assassin aura.
Or you'll be found with a Tyranid in stasis. And it's like, you're just waiting to unleash that on the planet. Everyone goes, whoa, why do you have that?
It's just like, that's not mine.
They will do whatever you find out that they don't want you to. They will proportionally smear you. So if you say, hey, the Inquisition's kind of bad, then it's not going to be that bad. However, if you try and blow the lid off the whole thing, they're going to have to try and blow the lid off of you, is how that works. They have to match it and then surpass it so that you are rendered... Nobody would believe everything you've ever said. They have to paint you with such a bad brush that even the family you have goes, whoa, I did not know he had that going on.
They're not going to, like, Men in Black style erase you from history. They're going to tarnish your reputation infinitely. You so wish. Everybody remembers you, but it's just the worst thing imaginable.
Exactly. You wish you never existed. However, that's the really, really mean ones. There are nicer ones who will just go, all right. Good job. You found out. You attended the meeting. Congratulations. You want a job? And that's a valid way. You can become an inquisitor that way. You can
just
go
discovering the secrets, and it's just like, well, you had to be that guy to figure this out.
Yeah, you can dig so deep, find out some things. You can find out things inquisitors don't know, and they go, dang.
Thanks.
You know, you have a real knack for this.
Do you want to join on?
And then you don't start as an inquisitor. You have to work your way up, and it takes quite a few. It's not just that inquisitor who can recommend you. It takes other inquisitors doing it too. So you really have to stand out, but you can.
So this is a Jujutsu Kaisen level promotion.
I'm so glad you're referencing it now. I'm slowly breaking him. It's great.
Your own professor cannot recommend you, but if you can get a good reputation with,
you could probably
professor.
Use that graphic right now, and it would be useful. Exactly. But
I can find it anywhere.
I'll send it your way. And it's really not a complete, it's not a bum deal either. It's not, oh, you're stuck here forever. I mean, you can't leave, obviously. You know too much now. But genuinely, you can become an inquisitor. If you work hard enough, you have access to the best treatments possible. You will live a long life. Like, you can be, you don't have to be born one. You can just be extended a hand in friendship. Just, that was pretty cool.
It's like, you did a really cool thing. You want to join in?
Yeah, they're fully capable of being reasonable. However, it's a hell of a gamble. It really depends, because you got to remember, at the end of the day, these are the only people who can just say, planet gone. And it's one of the biggest memes about them, where it's like, oh, woke up hungover, don't want to solve it, exterminatus.
Exterminatus.
Or, man, this one's really tough, exterminatus. Or they'll be doing their crossword and go, what's a 12-letter word for destroying a planet? Exterminatus. It's not that often that they use that ability. The scary thing is they can.
They could just have an awkward interaction at the bar. You know, they shoot their shot and then their shot gets just shot down. Just shot down. I mean, this girl is mounted with, like, level 3 point defense mechanisms. That's how bad his shot got shot down.
Okay, sure. That's a reference. And then they blow up the planet. Yeah, it's entirely possible. There are some that have gone mad with it and have been removed from the Inquisition for that. They've been forced to retire. It's rare, though. It is pretty rare for them to blow up planets, just because there's only so many of them. And also,
you have to keep some of the untold trillions around.
Exactly. And also, you can't blow up every planet. Like, an Inquisitor couldn't say, Earth, heretics, blow it up. Everyone would go, whoa, hold
on a second.
Hold that order. Why?
The Emperor is there, you idiot.
Give me good reasons.
Friendly but fire.
Critically, they're the only people who would be asked why. They wouldn't be killed immediately. Inquisitors would be asked, whoa, why do you think that's a good idea? And then they have to justify it. And if they can, shoot, I guess we gotta move the Emperor.
Terra's gone.
But you'd really, it would have to be borderline... The crust. Corn's been hiding in the crust the whole time. And everyone goes, really? Yeah, I swear to God he is. And
there's a little corn inside the Emperor's eye.
Exactly. It'd be that. It'd have to be something so shattering. Yeah, no, Earth is basically off limits. But they wouldn't be killed instantly for it, is what critically matters.
It would be, hold on, show your work.
Exactly. Again, though, 40K's got plenty of planets. It's happened a lot. It has happened just because of how many planets there are. A few of them have disappeared. A few of them have disappeared because of Inquisitors.
It's like, there was a planet there? What?
Exactly. That is usually done by absolutely insane Inquisitors, because there are some. They have some very fun quotes. One of my favorite is an Inquisitor is interrogating someone, and he goes, "You better hurry, because my patience is limited, unlike my authority." And that's just a line you have to live with now. You just have to know that. So they do occasionally go a little insane with power. They do. And this kind of descent into madness has led to some schisms within them, because there's some inquisitors who will not, they understand absolute power corrupts absolutely, so I will not give up a millimeter of who I am. I will never ever consult with chaos. And then there are other ones who are like, stuff a demon in that guy, let's see what happens. And critically, both of them can do their jobs. Both of them are fully capable of doing their jobs, and it usually falls into one of those two schools of thought, right? Usually in the beginning, you are closer to this end of things, where you are very pure. You do not want to even give up an inch. And then as you slowly get to see all the terrible things that chaos can do, you slowly move over to the stuffing demon side of things.
Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense. Just over time, slow, persistent chaos exposure.
Yeah, it's said in the beginning of your career as an Inquisitor, if you are not trying to be as pure as possible, you have no heart. However, you are naive if you continue to do so. And that's usually how their cycle goes. After those two large fractures, there's hundreds of other little schools of thought that we covered in our Patreon episode this week. It's really fun. But it is often said about the Inquisition that it's 100 different schools of thought that are divided by the same singular goal. So all of them want the Imperium to be better. And then that is what breaks them apart. Because some think, okay, Horus was right. We need to always be fighting, because that's what makes us the strongest. Others think, we need Dad back. We just really desperately need Dad back. We need to find his new body. Others think, he doesn't have a new body. It's going to be thousands. We need to find every single one.
Thousands of new dads back.
Exactly. Then others go, this is all going exactly as it should. Just watch the chaos unfold. It keeps going and going and going. If there's any kind of Inquisitor you would like to play or field, you can flavor them really well.
It seems like if you gave 1,000 philosophers absolute power and told them, go wild.
Exactly. But critically, one goal. You have to make the Imperium better. And now they're disagreeing about how to do that. But that's all they want to do. So if you want to play an Inquisitor who's, you know, intelligent enough to see that, okay, those aliens are clearly more advanced than us, let's work out something here so we can keep going. There's Inquisitors who do that. If you want to be an Inquisitor who just sees what you can really accomplish by working with chaos, there's Inquisitors who do that. If you want to be just the no-nonsense, I will never ever touch anything vaguely chaotic Inquisitor, there's Inquisitors for that. I love it so much because there's just a sub-faction for every kind of person. It's almost Space Marine levels of, if you like a certain thing, if you look at the list of chapters, one of them fulfills that to a T. And if not, you can create your own, and nobody's really going to question you on it, because the Imperium's got such a backlog of paperwork that sometimes chapters just disappear because somebody didn't press Control Z.
Nothing is true. Everything is canon.
Exactly. All of this infighting, though, is pretty much unknown to the average Joe. And it's never full, it's rare that it goes to full-blown infighting. It's usually just snide comments and trying to get at each other.
Well, Jerry over here stuck a demon in somebody. I'd never do that.
Or they just keep it hidden. But sometimes Inquisitors will, like, wage war against each other. Because they have the resources to make any disagreement a war. Because I can't be seen fighting him. However, I have the power to conscript planets. And oh my god, they happen to be fighting his?
So they
what a coincidence.
They keep fighting like Cold War style, like satellite state wars.
Exactly. That's how Inquisitors usually duke it out. They are heavily, heavily shrouded in mystery, with their founding kind of being up in the air. We know one variant says that after the heresy was in full swing, the Emperor realized the whole violent atheism thing is not going to work against chaos. So you have to burn the seeds before they start. So he sent out his right-hand man to go find the very best of the best and train them into the top-tier investigators in the Imperium to find it before it could even become a problem, right? And then you have another story that places their founding after the Emperor is stuck in his chair and there are followers who are gathered in secret to figure out what to do next. Some think that we should restore the Emperor and they left to try and figure that out. Others said it's a moot point, so let's just guard him and make sure he doesn't go away. And they've kind of split into two factions constantly fighting because of that. That's another variant. again, like you said, though, everything is canon, nothing is true, so you kind of get to go with whichever one you want to go with. What is known is, for the most part, they move as intelligence officials with extreme authority. They move in complete silence and focus on solving the case, no matter what it takes. They're never seen, and they usually employ a very cold level of calculus to everything they do, because they kind of have to serve as this hidden framework to protect the Imperium from itself and others. So they're the Inquisitors are never wanting for work. They're pretty much always shorthanded.
Well, I mean, there's so much Imperium. There's so much Imperium.
Mm-hmm. Space Marines, they get all the airtime because it's spectacular stuff. It's a dude roundhouse kicking a demon. Michael Bay could direct a movie on them. It would be fantastic. But Inquisitors are usually more of like a detective, slow burn thriller where they're trying to solve this case. Where is the ship allied with Chaos? Is it only one person? I could blow up the whole ship. What if that's what they want me to do?
The case of the extra tentacle.
Yeah, pretty much. And they're just stuck playing these games, usually against other people. And the only difference that they have is their resources. Regardless, if you shoot them in the head, that's pretty much it. they're human-ish. So they can die not just as easily, because they're really well-trained, but easier than a space marine. So they have to play careful. They have to play smart. It leads to some very, very interesting material that's not Space Marines kicking demons, because that's blockbuster material.
That's like movie material. Well, that's action movie material. This is like murder mystery. Like, okay, let's actually focus on this.
Mm-hmm. They do occasionally get billed as, like I mentioned, idiots who blow up planets at the slight hint of heresy. Just blow it up, move on. But and there are some like that, because even the Inquisition's villains need villains. But for the most part, they just ensure that the Imperium survives in spite of their self-destructive behaviors, not necessarily because of them. There are some Inquisitors who go to bed, and I really love them, because Space Marines books... there's a bunch of Space Marine books that cover their doubts, their thoughts, and those are interesting to me too, but it will occasionally kind of break the immersion when it's described as something moved in the corner, it's dead. Because Space Marines are really good at their job. I can't be mad, it's really cool when they are. But Inquisitors don't get that. They get to lay in bed and think, where did it all go wrong?
Oh.
Like one of my favorite ones is one who's just pondering, like, how did I get this far down this road? And one of the few points that he can like look at and remove as being a possible turning point was when he refused to kill a comatose child because they may have had a demon inside them. And he's like, was that when I started working with them? When did... Yeah. See?
Very...
It's they have a hard job.
Yeah.
They have a really hard job. And so some of them get a little loony about doing it. Others just deal with those doubts. They're always in fighting, though. It's just human nature.
Clashing of philosophies. They all seem to have a different opinion on everything.
Exactly. And even though they're usually in precarious situations, it's rare for them to die. They do, but it's still fairly rare for them to die. It does also give them almost guard-level stories where... Because 40k sucks. This is the tagline. Grim darkness, the 41st millennium, most brutal regime imaginable. Everybody, you know the deal.
You know the deal. You know the shtick.
But a lot of people's favorite stories, and some of my favorite stories, are the good individuals stuck in this terrible situation, and they're still good in spite of it. And the guard gets that a lot, mostly because there's nothing in the universe that can't kill a guardsman. I'll be honest, there's nothing the guard is sent after that they can reasonably win against.
Without one loss.
Exactly. And so they get a ton of those stories where this is truly unwinnable, but I'm still trying. Inquisitors get that too, but they get that from a more systemic point of view, where it's like, oh, I can win this fight. Oh, I can easily win this fight, but I can't fix the Imperium. And so I understand that I may be able to root out this demon, but at the end of the day, even if I save this planet, there's a coworker 10 planets over who just blew it up and moved on. And he's more efficient. Should I be doing that? And there's some Inquisitors who are very careful. They research all their cases, and they only, you know, murder people when it's absolutely necessary, when they're certain. And then there are others who are like, eh.
It's just a planet.
I mean, there's even one guy who's known for saying, and my favorite thing is he's sitting atop this judge's chair that is mechanized with arms and legs and guns and scripture tied all over it, because of course. And when he's presiding over court, he says, there is no such thing as an innocent... I vaguely remember the quote as, there is no such thing as an innocent plea in my court because you are still guilty of wasting my time.
Oh. It's like if you walked into an American court and the first thing that the judge said is contempt of court. Okay, let's get on with this.
Exactly. And so they are very fun. They have some very, very interesting stories because of their, at the end of the day, human nature. And I really love how, because it is kind of a necessary force, because just the way chaos works, they corrupt. You need things to root them out. You need things to figure out, okay, where is the leaking point? And so the differences in approach on how they do it. Some people try and plug the leak. Others try and bash sheet metal over it, you know? It leads to some very interesting stories, and no two Inquisitor books are the same. However, they're all fairly interesting.
Because I'd imagine with, like, so many, like, different philosophies on dealing with the chaos problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we will cover more on their specific organization, because it's not just Inquisitors. They have different orders tasked with doing different things, and we're going to cover that on next week's episode. In the meantime, thank you, as always, for watching. I already know you've done all the stuff the Machine God likes, and make sure you vote, because, I mean, you have a week. After that, I start going down the list. And so, if you don't want to see a Space Dwarves video, you better vote against them.
I'd love to see a Space Dwarves video.
I've seen people who...
I've also would love to see an Abhuman video, because, you know, it's a little bit of, like, weird dissonance, because usually the Imperium is just like, kill the mutant. And
well, Ogryn are useful. I mean, mutants. Come on, don't kill them. They can lift things. Minimum. That's at least useful. I also see people occasionally who are like, I don't know what to vote for. Then vote against something. Be a hater. We've had those.
We have so many haters.
I count anti-votes, too. Because I find it, if you take the time out of your day to be a hater for another faction, I can't help but
You're respect. Obviously committed. I can't help but respect.
I can't help but respect it. And of course, it was the Iron Warriors who started that trend. Then the Night Lords picked up after it. So yeah. It's just so fitting. I love it. As always, though, thank you for being you.